the high school doubleheader. So we're back and getting ready things, getting ready to roll here this week in the heart of January.
Well, hey, Dodge City had a pretty good showing on Saturday. The high school did, at least. Knocked off Wichita Trinity, I believe. First sweep for the season of the Red Demons, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. The girls 50-23, and then the boys actually trailed at halftime and then came out on a 25-2 run early in the third quarter and ended up winning 69-41. And they've got, I'll tell you this too, just prepping for Guymon, I think the Demons have a chance to go on the road and get another sweep on Tuesday night. So they are starting to, you know, pick some things up a little bit. The schedule's turning a bit in their favor. They started with a couple really tough teams, and the girls have kept it close all year, and now they're starting to finally see some rewards. Becca Unruh had 23 points in that game on Saturday, and then the boys with Isaiah Taylor. Everybody knew Taylor was the only returning starter. He was going to be the centerpiece of the offense, and he's now scored 38 points in the last two games. So things starting to come together a little bit for the Demons, and it's a whole lot of fun to watch.
Well, I feel like we always see that at this point of the year. It's either, you know, those 20 days off in between winter break, or just about 20 days for most teams, can either make you sink or they can make you swim. They can give you a chance to reflect on what went wrong in the first semester, or if things went really, really good, you could potentially continue that, or you have an opportunity to kind of fall in that sinkhole and not be ready for it. While we're talking about high school basketball, let's just go over some scores from Friday night. We'll recap kind of everything that we saw. We'll start with the Garden City game. Derek already went over the Dodge City game. Garden City got the sweep against Great Bend. The girls won 54-47. The boys narrowly escaped 58-55 in a really, really great matchup between those two schools, the first Western Athletic Conference matchup for Garden City. That was a lot of fun to call on Friday night on 99.9 The Rock. And then Scott City and Hewitton, our first crossover game. We actually had two this weekend of our WKBC network of stations and the schools that are included in those stations. But Scott City and Hewitton splitting. The girls, Lady Beavers, winning 45-42 in a close game. And then Hewitton beating Scott City 80-46. The boys have been a sneaky, sneaky pick in 3A. The Hewitton Eagles have, and I think that you know, nearly a 40-point win against Scott City will definitely give them some momentum moving forward in the 3A class. Meanwhile, Holcomb swept Ulysses 59-20 in the girls' game and 67-48 in the boys' game. Holcomb also a nice team in 3A. The Longhorns have been a bit of a surprise on both the girls' and the boys' side. They're playing some excellent basketball to start the year. We've already went over the Dodge game. That was the scores from the weekend. Everybody's back in action tomorrow on Tuesday. And let me see real quick, pull up the schedule. We'll go over that real briefly. We'll probably hit it at the end of the show as well. Garden City at home versus Liberal. Holcomb takes on Lakin. Hewitton goes to Hooker. Ulysses against Cimarron. And then obviously you talked about the Guymon matchup tomorrow, Derek. That's the high school basketball schedule. We'll talk about those games probably at some length tomorrow and get into those a little bit. But I thought while we were at the top of the show, we can go ahead and hit that and talk about those. But now it's time to get into our first real story of the morning, and it is going over the Kansas City Chiefs win against the Oakland Raiders. Not Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders. I keep doing it. I always say Las Vegas, or I always say Oakland, and then I've called the San Diego Chargers a few times, and they're the Los Angeles Chargers. So I do this a lot. Sorry, forgive me. Until those teams start winning or doing something of relevance in their new cities, it's probably going to take me just that long to figure it out. But Derek, not too much to speak of in this game. Kansas City just needed to go on the road, grab a win, and they secured the first seed in the AFC Championship. A couple of notes. Patrick Mahomes breaks the combined yards record. That's rushing and passing yards for a quarterback in one season. And yes, I understand he did need the final week to do it, but still an impressive stat from what should be the MVP. And he still has not lost on the road as a starting quarterback in the AFC West. In his career, he is a perfect 16-0. That's incredible. That is incredible numbers for Patrick Mahomes. And I feel like we always do this song and dance. Not maybe necessarily us, but some folks in the media and the national news especially. They see things like the Tyreek Hill trade. They see things like, Patrick Mahomes, you know, didn't come off of a great year last year. They lose to the Bengals. And they're questioning whether or not they can handle the division and win. They win it very convincingly. Really, the only team that gave them any sort of trouble was the Los Angeles Chargers there. I said it right that time. But, I mean, I feel like this was the year for the Chiefs. They look like the Super Bowl favorite out of the AFC, at least. What did you make of this game for Kansas City? If really even anything that we didn't already know from the Chiefs as they get set to take a week off in the first round of the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs in this game, first of all, the Raiders' completely disastrous season in a year where the Raiders actually had a little bit of expectation and some hope in Vegas. But the Chiefs look like a team that wanted to take care of business here. And that's not always been the case with the Chiefs. I mean, you talk to any Chiefs fan around, and we've been following this team this entire season, and they've had some weird games against teams that they shouldn't have, and they've lost a couple games against some not very good teams in the NFL. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs took care of business, and I agree with you. They're a well-rounded team, and I know they're not really getting much attention right now. Of course, the Bills with the news, you know, that's kind of put a lot of attention on the Bills from any perspective, not just football thing, but all of the news is kind of converging on the Bills. And I think some of that comes through as, well, the Bills are the best team. And I don't know if that's the case. I still think the Chiefs going into the playoffs here are probably the favorites. I would argue maybe the Bengals as a close second, given the fact that the Bengals have turned it on. Yes, they had a little lag to start the first third of the season. Past that, they've been darn near unbeatable. The Bengals have been, in my opinion, better than the Bills and more consistent. So I think the Bengals are actually the biggest threat to the Chiefs, but I still like the Chiefs as the AFC favorite. Very interesting playoffs coming up on the AFC side because there's a lot to shake out at the top. Few teams. I will say, overall, things went fairly predictably during the season, at least at the top of the conference and who the best teams were going to be. And here we are at the end of the season. And, you know, some people don't like predictability, but usually in these matchups, you get the matchups that everybody wants to see. Like, we've been building up toward the end of the season, and there could still be some upsets and you know, things could happen, and we may not see the matchups we want to see. But seeing the Chiefs and Bengals again, in my opinion, is without question the most intriguing matchup and the most exciting matchup in the AFC. If that could, you know, happen in these playoffs, then I think that's must-see television.
Well, and I think you made a good point, too, that it was a pretty predictable finish as far as 1 through 7. Obviously, the Chiefs winning the AFC West. You've got the Bills winning their division, the Bengals winning their division, and then the Jags, a surprise winner out of the AFC South, maybe slightly, right? There was kind of a toss-up. A lot of people thought the Colts were going to be a lot better than they were. The Titans probably were the favorite to win that division, and they might still if Ryan Tannehill's their quarterback. You saw them with Josh Dobbs really struggle, still did enough to try to win that game against Jacksonville, but between those three teams, I think everybody except the Texans were expected to win that division or have a chance to win that division. They're the slight surprise. Trevor Lawrence has looked very good. I think that Chargers in that Jacksonville game is going to be a lot of fun, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on when we preview each matchup. I think you're right, and then the NFC, probably the same story as well. You get the same teams there at the top. You've got the Eagles, at least as far as division winners. Maybe not order, but division winners for sure. Eagles, Vikings, 49ers are in there, and then the Buccaneers. Even though the Bucs have a really poor record, they were expected to win that division still. That was very, very bad. So it's pretty predictable. I like KC. I like the Bengals, like you mentioned. The Bills kind of seem like the team of destiny. I think right now the AFC is the more attractive lineup for the playoffs, just based on how the teams have been playing, as far as maybe where some of the games might lead to, or even just who might win the Super Bowl. I think they come out of the AFC, but we'll certainly hit that a little bit later on. Let's stay with the NFL here, and let's talk about the NFL draft just briefly. Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, those are the two coveted QBs in this year's draft. Here's the top four. You've got the Bears, the Texans, the Cardinals, and the Colts. And the Texans had the number one overall pick. They slide back to two after going for two and beating the Colts in the final play of the game, essentially. Colts with the loss and the Broncos win over the Chargers move up to four. Broncos pick slides back. That doesn't matter anyway. That's not their pick. It's going to go to Seattle. Cardinals slide up to three. I would imagine, Derek, that of those four teams, the two that need a quarterback the most are the Texans and the Colts. Cardinals probably an outside potential of maybe trying to draft a quarterback. I understand they've got Kyler Murray. They just signed him that huge extension. But then you have the injury concern with Kyler, and what is he going to look like after the injury? Is he going to be his same old self? That's a big question mark. Do you think the Cardinals are interested in a quarterback based on that top four? Probably not the Bears with Justin Fields, but do the Cardinals have an opportunity to maybe snag one of those two guys?
I absolutely think they do. And it'll be interesting. The biggest question in my mind, and maybe part of this is a little bit of bias, but in that top four, is who do the Colts draft? Like, what is going to be the scenario for the Colts? Because there might not have been a more wild ride for an NFL team with more drama and ridiculousness than the Colts this year. Three different starting quarterbacks. They start the season, and, you know, and this is all after, by the way, getting rid of Carson Wentz last year. Colts fans seem happy. Matt Ryan gets traded for. He starts. He doesn't work out. Sam Ehlinger comes in for a few games. And then at the back end of the season as well, they tried Nick Foles for a couple games. You know, and that's not even counting the coaching change, going to Jeff Saturday. I mean, all these things happen just seemingly with no reason and in like days' time. So just shocking story after shocking story coming out of Indianapolis this year. And there are a bevy of others that come along with the Colts. So in my opinion, they've got a couple different options. If they think the Cardinals are going to draft a quarterback, they could try and trade up. And they could try to give up some draft capital down the line and try to trade up and get that third spot so they guarantee that they're either going to get Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. And in my opinion, I think it'll be C.J. Stroud. I think the Texans are going to take Bryce Young, and they're going to move from there. And I think C.J. Stroud is that next quarterback. But of course, and to me, and here's the deal, Baylen, for the Colts, they've gone through free agency. They've tried to do it that way. They're on their third quarterback doing that. I just think that it's time for the Colts to try and draft a guy that is very highly rated out of college and try to build around him, because there, again, as we've talked about, there are other pieces on that team with the Colts. So it's very interesting. The wrench gets thrown in if the Cardinals draft a quarterback. If they don't, then the Colts are probably going to get C.J. Stroud, I would imagine. That would be my projection anyway. But if the Colts really feel like the Cardinals could take a quarterback, then they would be interested, in my opinion, and should trade up, because they've got cash, they've got draft capital down the road, and I think this is a situation where they're going to have to do that. So, in my opinion, I don't know. What do you do if you're the Cardinals? I mean, it's definitely a possibility. I think it's a better possibility than some people are giving it a credit for. You know, some people are saying, it's a 1 in 10 shot that they'll draft a quarterback. Probably not going to happen. But if you're the Cardinals sitting here, and you're on the brink, you're kind of teetering of falling out of real competition for the next several years if Kyler doesn't get healthy and work out, what do you do if you're the Cardinals?
Well, I think it comes down to two things for the Arizona Cardinals. Looks like they're going to have a new GM, right? They had their general manager step away at the middle of the season, just needed to be away from the team and kind of figure some things out. There's been mixed reporting, but the consensus, it seems like he will not return next year. Cliff Kingsbury, does he come back next year? There's been some talk of that. I think with the quarterback situation, with the injuries, they probably give him one more year, but it really hasn't been a great tenure for Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals. They've been okay. I mean, they were a really hot team last year, and then they just completely imploded. They went on that stretch at the end of the year that knocked them out of the playoff race, and I think that it comes down to those two things, and they have to figure that out before the draft, because this is arguably the most important draft pick for the Arizona Cardinals since they drafted Kyler Murray. That's how I feel about this. But I think there's so much concern as to who's going to be making the pick for the Cardinals. And I think that's kind of the similar way with the Colts as well. They're going to have a new head coach. We know that for sure. And we know that there's a potential for a new general manager. Probably not as much of a chance with Arizona for Chris Ballard being bounced out. And then you go to the team with the second pick in the draft, the Houston Texans. They're most likely looking at a new head coach. Or not most likely, they are. Lovie Smith is out as the Texans head coach. So three of those four teams in the top four are looking for a new head coach. That's always going to prove some sort of validity as to who drafts who and who likes who, because you're probably going to go based on the fit of your next head coach. So you've got to get that done before the NFL draft. You've got plenty of time to do that, but those are real conversations that have to be had. And it should be a lot of fun. This is one of the more, I think, exciting NFL drafts we will have seen in the past couple of years, because without a doubt, the top two players are going to be quarterbacks, whereas in maybe the last two or three years, it's been defensive players, which isn't always a bad thing, not at all. I'm not saying that's anything different, but you're typically not trading out of place or going up, you know, from a fourth to a first-round pick type of thing to go grab a defensive player. That's just not what happens in the NFL draft. So this year we're going to get a lot of movement more than likely, with the Bears not needing a quarterback, and the Texans, Cardinals, and Colts all could be in the market for a quarterback. Two of those teams for sure. The Cardinals, the big question mark right there. But it should be a lot of fun. I'm not sure who's going to get who or where everybody ends up. We've got a lot to go. We still have the playoffs, obviously, and have to crown a Super Bowl winner before that. But we'll keep an eye on it, and we'll talk about it a lot moving forward. Let's get to our next story here this morning. Talking college basketball before we take our first break. In particular, Kansas State and Kansas getting wins on the road, just like they've done in back-to-back games so far. KU takes care of West Virginia 76-62. I think this was a very important game for Kansas just because they needed this win in the way in which they won. They needed a dominating win against a Big 12 team to kind of show, hey, we're right here. We can really, really score when we need to, and we can keep games, you know, away from a one or two possession type of game late. That's important for a team that's a top five in the country. I think that we could see them move up as high as two, some even projecting them being the number one team in the country after today's AP poll comes out. I'm not sure if they'll get up to that point, but if they do, that will be something to follow and pay attention to for sure. This kind of seemed just like a game that KU needed. I didn't take a whole lot out of that, except it was the first game that hasn't been a one-possession game in Big 12 play, Derek.
Yeah, it's a good point, and I was kind of surprised. I thought this had the chance to kind of go down to the wire again, but, you know, we have to consider at this point in the season if we feel like Kansas is, they could be number one, but are they actually the best team in the country? And in my opinion, the answer is no. I think at this juncture, Houston is going to be. And there's going to be some stability in that position in my mind, unless Houston completely melts down and loses a few conference games, which is almost impossible. I mean, Houston is favored to win every game the rest of the season. I mean, the best team that they're going to play is Memphis. And so that they don't play any more top 25 teams. The American's not good this year. So Houston could theoretically win out. They're 16-1 right now. But I just think the defense of Houston it's just almost impossible to play against. It's a la Virginia a couple years ago, but it's totally different, right? I mean, Virginia's more of a pack line defense, half court style. Houston is one that's going to heat up the ball, pressure the ball, and then, interestingly, they don't always get runouts. So, because they're not very good on offense. I mean, Houston's offensive numbers are good in a computer, but they're not that good. They're kind of ugly. They miss a lot of shots. The reason that they're good is because they get a lot of offensive rebounds. But I think Houston's a better team than Kansas right now. Do I think Kansas has the potential to be that number one in my mind? Absolutely. The question is going to be consistency, because that's the thing that Houston has that Kansas is not. And, of course, Kansas is going to lose more games than Houston. That's just the nature of the Big 12 this year. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that they're not as good or better than Houston. But at this point, I think Houston's better. Kansas, to me, needs to prove some things defensively and shore some things up more consistently in the Big 12. And it's hard to be good on defense in that league. It really is. But that's how Kansas takes a step from already being in the elite class and being a legitimate national championship contender to maybe going in as a favorite.
I'm right there with you. I think the defense is the next step. They're undoubtedly going to lose more games than Houston because they're in a better conference. If it goes the other way around, then we could really be talking about a Houston team that might not be a potential favorite heading into the NCAA tournament. Let's swing it over to Kansas State. They beat Baylor 97-95, another high-scoring game for a team that's been touted for its defense in an overtime matchup against the Baylor Bears. On the road, third straight top 25 win now for the Wildcats. They're 3-0 in Big 12 play. Marquise Noel, 32 points. Johnson with 24 points as well. We've got to be thinking Kansas State's going to be ranked today, right? I mean, there's no way they're not. We were talking about it before we hopped on, Derek. Eight straight wins. They've got three wins in conference, all over top 25 teams. They've done it on the road in impressive fashion. They're scoring in a really probably not a number they're going to keep the pace at. I wouldn't think so, at least. I don't know how they keep this up. I mean, before the conference play, they were not scoring like this, certainly. The defense is typically where Jerome Tang hangs his hat, but you just had a feeling that with this hire, if he can get, you know, adequate personnel on the court, which it seems like he has done, and get them to play together, he knows this conference in and out, that it could be in the benefit of Kansas State once conference play starts.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think K-State, and I hate using cliches, this win for Kansas State, just absolutely gutsy. I got a chance to listen to a good chunk of the end on the radio, and then I managed to find a bar for overtime. I was in Wichita on Saturday, and it was packed, and there were a lot of K-State fans in there. Very lively atmosphere, and K-State pulls away for a victory at the end. I mean, they had several chances in overtime, several points in this game where they could have lost. The Bears had a chance to put a firm stranglehold on it, and K-State just never went away. Marquise Noel, 8 of 16 from the floor, but maybe more importantly, 12 of 13 from the free throw line. There were a lot of free throws in this game between the two. There were 59 of them and 38 taken by the Bears. Typically, when you see a team take 38 free throws and make 29 of them, they're probably going to be the winning team. Not so on Saturday. K-State with a big-time win, again, coming from behind at times in the extra period. And I don't understand how this team couldn't be ranked. I was joking around about New Mexico being ranked a couple weeks ago and last week in the NCAA rankings and the AP poll, and K-State not being ranked is a crime. And if they don't get ranked today, I don't know what they have to do, because, again, they're going to lose some games because of this conference. But right now, K-State's first place. They're sitting there. They're it's just unbelievable. 3-0. Who could have guessed that? And we cover this team, and you know, we've heard from Adam and longtime K-State people being, you know, pleasantly happy that this team didn't look like it was going to finish in last place, even with the strength of this league. You know, they could finish in last and be a very good team. Well, that doesn't look like the case anymore. K-State looks like a complete, legitimate contender for this conference out of the jump.
Yeah, we're taking a look at the standings. You mentioned K-State right there, tied for the top. I was going to get to that question next, Derek. You took it right out of my mouth. I feel like that they're no longer, you know, a last place team. They're a contender. They're one of three teams, which the surprise team probably tossed in there right now is Iowa State, also at 3-0. But right now the Big 12 standings go as follow: Kansas State, Kansas, Iowa State, Texas. That's the first 2-1 team in the list, with TCU right there, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, both at 1-2, and then Baylor, West Virginia, Texas Tech. I think those bottom three teams are all very good teams. They just played tough teams to start. I think we can start to kind of reshape this conference, and based on what we've seen through three games, I don't know how K-State doesn't finish in the top half. I really don't. At the very least, the top five in this conference. Is there any way you see, you know, based on what you've seen, a complete implosion that drops them out of that, at least the top five?
Well, I think it's always a possibility. And again, in a conference that has this much strength, losses can pile up in a hurry. You could lose two or three games in a row before you're even able to blink. And it's a possibility. I mean, I'm looking at the stretch between Kansas, Texas, TCU, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, down that late January, early February stretch of the season. That might be that time where things start to slip. But no, I think you're right. It's possible they could finish in the top half. Here's the thing, though. I mean, even after all this, they're still looking at, in KenPom, projected to win only 7 remaining games. So they're still projected to have a losing record in the league, or right around 500. It comes out to about 10-8 or real close to 9-9. So even with the first three wins, jolting Kansas to 26th in KenPom, you're still you're still projected to lose a good chunk of these games. So it's possible. A lot of these are going to be close. I love the competitive nature of the Big 12 this year. Not only is the conference really good, we have seen a bevy of games come right down to the wire, and even the ones that haven't have been really entertaining. I mean, how about K-State? How could you not enjoy them dropping a buck 16 at Texas? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Like, the amount of entertainment value in this Big 12 conference this year is unmatched almost to any season that I can remember. This is one of the best years the Big 12 has had, top to bottom in the conference, in a very, very long time. It's a good thing for K-State, and it really, in my opinion, makes them look all that much better, given the fact that three wins are all over teams in the top 30 in KenPom in the Big 12 conference so far.
Absolutely, and this is the first year where I found myself, let's say there's a top 25 matchup, right? It can be any team. Let's say it's an ACC top 25 matchup, something like that. I found myself opting to flip on, if on at the same time, a Big 12 game, just because of the level of play and how close those games have been. I think that that tells you how good this conference is, how washable this conference is, and really that's not just my pulse. I mean, I feel like that's the pulse of the whole country. I really do, because unless you're a fan of those two top 25 teams, it's been that good, that entertaining, and I certainly can't wait to see how this Big 12 season shakes out. We'll keep it here. We'll keep the coverage rocking and rolling for everyone on that front. We're going to take our first break in the morning roundup, Monday morning edition. When we come back, me and Derek will go over the NFL playoff bracket. We'll talk early predictions through the first weekend and even give you our Super Bowl favorite. All that and much more coming up next in the morning roundup. It's 9:27, just about midway through our first show live in the Garden City Studios. KWKR, we'll be right back in the morning roundup.